Thank you, Christopher. That was a fascinating presentation on Australian trade policy. I should say my name is Bruce Saw. I represent the local office here in Adelaide of the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. And I'm also a former student of yours, but I think I may have missed a couple of critical lectures, because what I'd like to say is really not so much a question, but just perhaps express an alternative point of view, if that's all right, and just say I agree with many of the things you've said today, particularly on the role of state governments in the services sector. The services sector really is becoming an increasing focus of trade negotiations, and you're right, the states have a very important role in that. What I wanted to say was really that although all the press and the headlines and the focus appears to be on these bilateral free trade agreements, it's a mistake, I think, to think that we can have one or the other. In fact, the federal government's highest priority is to push forward on the WTO negotiations, as you've called for. And I know, as someone who works inside the department, that the time and energy that the Trade Minister, Mr. Vail, has devoted to the WTO over the last 4 or 5 months has been really quite incredible, especially given his responsibilities with the national parties and as the Deputy Prime Minister. So you don't see a lot of that in the press, but the government is working very hard to push forward on the WTO. Similarly, you talked about the coalitions in favour of other aspects of trade policy. I'd just make the point that Australia is continuing to liberalise its trade policy unilaterally. Tariffs in the TCF and motor vehicle industries are coming down. So it's not an either-or approach. And on APEC, I can speak from personal experience, enormous resources are going into APEC in the lead-up to next year when we will chair APEC. And as you rightly pointed out, there will be APEC meetings all around the country, including Adelaide. So thank you again for raising these issues. It was a fascinating presentation. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks very much. Yes, a good reminder about the effort that is going on. And yes, I agree, the APEC resources and planning started, last year, year before even. There's a good agenda worked out. There's going to be a lot of interesting things on. And I appreciate the government and the minister is putting a lot of effort into the WTO. And yes, it doesn't get a lot of coverage, I know. But my concern remains that you have to think about the structure of the portfolio and the relative weights you're putting on different components and how they link to each other. There's a nice complementarity between the APEC process and the WTO. My concern remains that there's not a nice complementarity between particular structures of bilateralism and the WTO. So I'm urging some sort of risk management strategy there. For example, another point. We seem to approach these bilateral agreements one by one as if they're in isolation. So we say, oh, good, we'll go off and negotiate with these people now. But what I'd really appreciate is someone who would say, this is what we've thought about. If we do it in this particular sequence, we'd expect this sort of set of reactions, and this is where we're likely to end up. I really think you have to anticipate how others will respond to what you do and how that will feed back onto what you've done in the first place. And hopefully in private they're thinking about that, but I don't see it in public.
A lot of thinking is going on in private about this, but the point I'd make is that it's not as if Australia has driven this process towards bilateral free trade agreements. In fact, it's a trend that seems to have started in Asia, but I mean, you can trace it back to US-Israel free trade agreements in the early 80s or NAFTA in the late 80s. Australia is really in a position where it has to respond to developments overseas. And if you're talking to a company that's exporting to China or the UAE or whatever, and America or their competitors are the government in which their competitors are located are negotiating a bilateral free trade agreement, it's very difficult to say to an Australian company, look, we're going to stand aside from all this. You'll just have to suffer that relative loss of competition. But sorry, I didn't mean to get into a debate. I'll sit down now.
Just agree that that's precisely the dilemma I'm trying to think of a way out of. I mean, I think we've got into this game now where you do that and then I respond, and now we're playing quite an expensive game. And I see the aviation system basically, that aviation is sort of exactly the same structure, but it's just within one sector, it's even worse. So, again, what I'm looking for is some clever some clever circuit breaking, and I think we're going to have to get up again to the at least the regional, if not the multilateral, to assure people that there's a better way of managing the trading system.
Thanks very much indeed, Christopher. I should particularly thank Christopher for his presentation today. He's had to squeeze this presentation in between some important meetings he's had all morning, and then some presentation during orientation week, some students starting at 1 o'clock. So I'm very grateful, Christopher, for your participation in today's event at what was in fact relatively short notice. And when I first approached Christopher, he was up in Jakarta, and but was very quick to respond back. So I'm very, very grateful indeed for your help today. And I think the issues of trade policy are sometimes not as much understood. I mean, I worked in the, as some of you know, worked in one of the major industry associations in another life. And I can recall that Australia introduced privacy legislation during that period. And as I understood it at the time, the major reason that privacy legislation was introduced into Australia was that Europeans were refusing to do trade with any country that didn't have appropriate privacy legislation in place. So the kinds of issues you're raising about state government policies and mechanisms around services that flow from them, I think, are very important. And if you talk to the electronics manufacturers these days, they will tell you that the Europeans are demanding certain types of solder to be used, certain types of equipment to be used, materials to be used, if you wish to sell your product into the European market. So some of these issues really do come right back to impact on you, not only in terms of on Australian business, not only in terms of, you know, what one might see as exports, but actually influence the way in which we legislate and the way in which we have to build products in order to satisfy the requirements of overseas markets. And I think, therefore, CEDA is very keen to keep the debate and the issues around trade policy alive and well, because they really can raise issues that are significant to you. So I'm very grateful to you for again doing that again today. And Duncan, as has been the case in the past, will give you a small memento to which is not an imported or an exported product, but very much a local product,